Hello, this is Billy Brailman, the voice of One Witness, coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks at this wonderful Christmas season. I like everything about Christmas. I used to go with Jim and Kathy Caseman into Russia. We went often during the times of the terrible Soviet system. KGB traced everybody. We had to go to the underground churches. And if they found you in an underground church, having church, and you had children there, the leader is going to have to go to prison anyway. And the parents of that child are going to have to go if they have a child under 18 in there. So they're particularly looking for the underground churches. And when we were there, I remember sitting in the church, which was a house, a home, and they had benches on the floor. And, oh, they would sit for hours to listen to the Word of God. And I remember looking out. They had all the curtains drawn. I remember looking outside that curtain and looking what was going on out in the street. Somebody was keeping a watch to see if the KGB was going to try to find us. And I looked down in the window pane, and there was an icicle. You remember those little silver icicles that we used to hang on our Christmas trees? And, oh, that icicle. Someone had forgotten to hide it. It was evidence. Evidence that they had been celebrating Christmas. They could go to jail for an icicle in the window. Yes, 25 years you could go, from 5 years to 25 years. When I came home, I loved every Christmas light. I don't like to hear people say, oh, Christmas, oh, this, oh, that, bah, humbug. I say, glory to God, I live in Branson, and we light her up around Christmas time. And it's lit because we're free to worship Him. Merry Christmas, not happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Yes, and we talked yesterday about why December 25th was chosen, and we don't believe it was because of a pagan holiday. So you'll have to go back on the archives and listen to this. But we want you to know, and we're going to talk about God's great plan. I'm going to read to you one verse of Scripture right now, Ephesians 3:11. According to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is the King James of Ephesians 3:11. I'm going to read you the same in the New American Standard. The eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, the Amplified says, this is in accordance with the terms of the eternal and timeless purpose, which he has realized and carried into effect in the person of Christ Jesus our Lord. But the Young's literal translation gets it absolutely right when they translate it according to the purpose of the ages, which he made in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is an eternal purpose. There is the purpose of the ages. There is a purpose of the ages. There is the purpose of the ages. Some people don't even know there are ages. Ages past, ancient ages. Ages future. The church is going to give God glory throughout all the ages to come. Age after age after age after age, the Bible says. So you and I are in a point today of God's plan for the ages. Now, this plan for the ages and for man, that's what the Bible is. The Bible is a record of that plan that God has for man. And he purposed it and brought it about through the agency of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, we know they're the Jews, the nations, and the church. I want to talk to you a little bit first about God's purpose in the church, the body of Christ. And I'm going to read to you from The Authority of the Believer by John Macmillan. I'm starting with page 10. It is necessary to state here what is commonly understood by those who carefully study the word, that the kingdoms of this world are under the control and leadership of satanic principalities. They're in the second heaven. It might shock you to know that Satan's office is not in hell. His office is in the second heavens. His throne is in the second heavens. Jesus called it in his day when he was in, that it was over Pergamos or Pergamon, Turkey today. It has moved from time to time, his headquarters, but it's there. It's not in hell. And from there, in the double kingdom system, evil princes like Daniel saw the prince of Persia. There's still a prince of Persia. He saw the prince of Grecia. They rule down through earthly leaders. These heavenly despots rule down through earthly despots. And so he says here, we need to recognize that. We need to know what's going on. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ conquered Satan. But, and he's now under judgment of dispossession from those seats, but he is still at large. And as the masses of mankind are also rebels, he maintains over them an unquestioned because unsuspected rule, their eyes being blinded to his dominance. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the God of this world has blinded their eyes. Now the seats of authority, and I'm reading from page 12, of these rebellious spiritual rulers are also in the heavenlies. From there they have dominated the human race since its fall. There they will remain until the divine, quote, purpose of the ages is complete. And we do know that they are there until Adam's lease runs out. But we know they're not going to stay there. And he writes, Macmillan writes, in chapter 2, The Divine Purpose of the Ages, the God of the whole earth does not propose to tolerate forever this rebellion against his righteousness. Isaiah 45:23 is where he first said it. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. And so, there is a completeness of the time when these evil angelic princes will be taken out of their seats. But now, and it took the coming of the Word, it took the coming of Jesus Christ in an incarnation of God in man. And through that, and his shed blood, and the power of the Holy Spirit, God has now redeemed a people and purified them, and has introduced them potentially into the heavenlies. We know from Ephesians that when he quickened Jesus, he quickened his body. When he quickened the head, he quickened the body. When he raised the head, he raised the body. When he seated the head, he seated the body. So right now, we have been introduced into that heavenly realm, far above all rulers and authorities and powers and dominion, in our Lord Jesus Christ. We have been there, and one day, I am in complete agreement with Macmillan, we will in actuality take the seats of the powers of the air, thereby superseding those who have manifested their unfitness and unworthiness. Those demons, I believe like he does, that's where the church will rule from. They will rule because we're not like the earthly people. There will be earthly people on the earth during the millennium, but we will have bodies like unto his glorious body, and we will be well able to take these seats of authority. This is the way he states it, Macmillan states it. Israel will administer the earthly kingdom and will be head of the nations, but over all will rule the exalted church as the executive of God. Now, this great plan, this purpose, present and future, is definitely stated in Ephesians chapter 3, 9 through 11. We're going to read that. This is Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to start with verse 8 in the King James. Paul says, unto me, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles? What? The unsearchable riches of Christ, the Anointed One. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. To the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. There was an eternal purpose that brought the Word to be made flesh and to tabernacle among us. This is the way that it is written in Young's literal translation, to cause all men see what is the fellowship of the secret that hath been hid from the ages in God, who the all things did create by Jesus Christ, that there might be made known now to the principalities and the authorities in the heavenly places through the assembly the manifold wisdom of God, according to the purpose of the ages. Excuse me, he said, according to a purpose of the ages, which he made in Christ Jesus, our Lord. When Christ Jesus, our Lord, came, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, now this is according to the plan, it's going to work the eternal purpose. Remember, the eternal purpose is that men, humans, will manifest to those evil princes the manifold wisdom of God. How can humans do that? They couldn't do it, except that Jesus came and the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. God, the Holy Spirit, planted the seed of God, the seed of God into the egg, the womb of Mary. And God incarnate came to live a perfect life in a man's body. The blood of that man could be poured out, that God-man could be poured out for the sins of all humanity. And then at the receiving of that, an individual person can be born again and receive the nature of God. It is spoken of in the verses in Ephesians as the mystery, which for ages had been hid in God. One phase of this mystery being the wonderful veiling of the deity of the Son of God in flesh. And then at his death, resurrection, and seating, that deity can be manifest in us, in our human nature, that we through him might become what Peter called, 2 Peter 1:4, partakers of the divine nature. This is a part of the plan. He was God in man, and now through the power of the Holy Spirit, he's God in us, Emmanuel. He's God in you and God in me, and it is the divine purpose of the ages that men on this earth, you and me, right now, it's going to reach its fulfillment later on, but right now, he wants us to manifest the manifold wisdom of God to those evil princes. If you can, watch our archived prayer of December 14, Wednesday noon. Oh, how God anointed us and taught us these very things. This is Billy Brim saying, Shalom, shalom, until tomorrow.